Church, my bucket is already full. It's certainly been a great day already here at Azalea City. If you weren't convicted to get up for Bible class, you need to get that way. We had a great Bible class in here. I know our outdoor Bible class had a great class. I know our teens had a great class. One-to-one had a great class. I wasn't in but one of those, but I know they did. But then we come in here to worship, and it's kind of a neat scene. We all, maybe as elders or those who have a part, we usually try to gather in the back with Johnny and Steve and those who really help us get things organized here. And we have prayer together, and we always try to pray for God to be the center. And I feel like this is as God-centered as we've been today. For Steve to lead us in these songs, it's just been so neat for me to hang on every word and think about in Christ alone. You know, or we come. Even though he's saying it for the children's offering, think about that. We come to worship him. That's why we're here. And then, of course, as Kent leads us in a beautiful prayer, Harrison reads it in Scripture, but I really appreciate Bubba this morning. Don't you appreciate his heart, his honesty? He used this platform to draw us closer to Jesus, but also to admit some things that he wants to do better. And I would imagine he's not the only one in that pew that said that, but I love him and I appreciate him. And we're at a time now when we're all going to try to be a little more convicted. We're going to challenge ourselves. Last Sunday, in a storm-abbreviated service, I started a little series of lessons on elevating the cross. We talked to you about nailing it to the cross. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 when he talked about the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Again, that's the old law. But think about this. What was it? It was against them. It was nailed to the cross. What's against us? It was all nailed to the cross. And then we also looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul is reminding the church at Corinth, who's going through so many frustrating things. If you think church has it bad or church may be mixed up or church is confused on this and that, we're not, by the way, but if you hear of some of those rumors somewhere, the church at Corinth really had it messed up. Paul still called them brethren, by the way. And there, though, he really hammered them home and he reminded them that the cross is the power of God to those of us who are being saved. You know what he told us to do in that section of Scripture? He said, boast in the cross. So today, I want to keep boasting in the cross. I want to keep elevating the cross. So that's why this sermon is Elevate the Cross Part 2. And it comes from Luke chapter 9. Harrison read it wonderfully just a moment ago. But in Luke chapter 9, we have these words again. Jesus Christ now, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That's conviction, by the way. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. That section of Scripture, Jesus is talking to his disciples. But earlier in the chapter, he has talked about three or four different people or groups that have tried to come to him and follow him. But they weren't convicted enough to take up their cross every day and do it. You know, something that really hit me as I was thinking about this sermon is this. When it comes to taking up our cross every day and following Him, we can make a difference in someone's life every day. And I believe we should make a difference in someone's life every day. Now you might say, hey Terry, I don't get out very much. Doesn't mean you can't make a difference with the one who's in the house with you. It doesn't mean that you can't make a difference in your own life. But those of us who are able to get out and those of us who are able to go to school and go to work and be a part of the community around us, I believe if I'm going to take up my cross every day and follow Jesus, I'm going to need to be making a difference in someone's life. That's what it means to take up your cross and follow Him. Jesus made a difference in everyone's life. Or not in everyone's life. He made some really mad about it, didn't He? But He made a difference every day in someone's life. You read all of the Gospels and you see Him making a difference in this one and making a difference in that one, making a difference in some others. Now some chose to not take up that cross and elevate it to the way it needed to be elevated. But you know, when it comes down to following Jesus, taking up the cross and following Him, maybe you're a little bit confused on that, but let me just give you in a nutshell of what that really means. If I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus, it means I'm willing to die in order to follow Jesus. There are those who are underground worshiping today while Ken, as he prayed, we're sitting in comfort. I believe the temperature's just right today too, ladies. I'm sorry if you're cold. But we're sitting in comfort. We're sitting on comfortable pews. There are some in a hut somewhere, in a hole somewhere. But you know what they're doing? They're elevating the cross. You see, I've got to be willing to die for my faith. That's taking up the cross and following Him. You know, when you think about Jesus' life, when you think about ultimate surrender, you know what He did? He gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up being God. Oh, He was God in the flesh. But Paul said He made Himself of no reputation. He came in the form of a bondservant, in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of, here it is, the cross. You see, He was willing to die so that the cross can be elevated in our lives. What else is it? If I am willing to follow Jesus, it means I might lose some of my closest friends. I've had people before say, hey, and I'm not talking about anyone here, but I've had people before say, hey, we're not as close as we used to be. We're not, you know, doing this and that. And you always tell them, you know, man, 99 to now, I've been here, right, as an employee. I said, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here. I'm still going to worship on Sunday here. I'm still going to work here. I'm still going to be here on Wednesday night. I'm still going to be here. You know what the difference is? They're not. Sometimes birds of a feather, you know that saying, right? They can't always flock together, at least in my book. I can't be the world and be Jesus. He said you can't serve God and riches, God and money. We might lose some friends along the way. Teenagers, please hear me when I preach those words. It may be that I need to have a spring cleaning of people that are bringing me down. If I'm willing to take up the cross and elevate the cross and follow Jesus, it means I may be alienated from my family. Well, that's a hard one. Why? Because we love our family. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, we may have words and we may fuss and we may fight, but we love them so much. But when I make the decision to follow Jesus, it may mean that Mama doesn't call me as much, or Daddy, or brother, or sister, or whoever. If I'm going to elevate the cross and follow Jesus, take it up every day, It means that even though my reputation will be better, there's an old country song that goes, "You're going to ruin my bad reputation." You know, it may mean that my reputation changes. Again, that's a good thing, but amongst our friends it may not be. It may mean losing my job. It may mean losing an old part of my life. There's so many things we could talk about in that, but if we're truly going to make a difference, if we're truly going to be convicted, if we're truly going to elevate the cross, brag on the cross, nail it to the cross, take it up every day and follow Him, it may mean we lose some things. But I'm here to tell you, what you're going to lose in the world, you're going to gain even greater things in carrying the cross. Got several little points here I want to talk to you about today. If I'm going to elevate the cross every day, here's some things I think we need to be doing. Number one, we got to have a purpose. Life is filled with purpose. Bubba was telling you today that he wants his purpose to change. And I appreciate that. Maybe if you stood up here today, you could say some of those same things. Maybe I could. But you see, in life, we should have purpose. If you run a major business, they're going to have a purpose statement. They're going to have a mission statement. They're going to have some type of statement that will remind them of who their identity is, who they are supposed to be. You see, you have a purpose and I have a purpose, and it's not to be who we are in our jobs. Again, I'm thankful for who you are in your job. I'm thankful for what God's blessed you with, and you're using it to His glory and to His talent. But that's not who defines you. Taking up your cross every day, that's the very definition of who we're to be. If along the way you become the head of whatever Fortune 500 company and you make billions of dollars and you're CEO and you live a great life and everything else, that's fine and dandy as long as your number one purpose is to take up the cross and follow Him. Jesus had a purpose. Think about it now. He gave up more than anybody's being asked to give up today. Think about that. Well, Terry, I couldn't give up my job. I make such and such amount of money, and I've got this and that. I've got that, and I've got bills and all that. Jesus gave up heaven. That is the trump card, okay? There's no arguing to it. He gave up the splendor of heaven, and for a moment in time, He gave up the only time in existence He gave up the perfect relationship and unity He had with His Heavenly Father. You know why He did it? So that the cross can be elevated in our lives. So that we can take it up every day and bear it. Every day when you get up, you have a purpose. Maybe your purpose is, I'm going to go and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to be a great father, I'm going to be a great husband, I'm going to be this and that and everything else. And that's all fine, but don't leave the cross laying by the bed. If I'm going to elevate the cross of Christ, I got to remember I'm doing this for a purpose, for a reason. Secondly, in elevating the cross, sometimes we need to ask for help. The cross can get heavy. Think about it. You know what we try to do? We try to take life on itself. And sometimes because as was pointed out, George pointed out in class this morning, Jesus told me I was going to have troubles. He told me I was going to have trials and tribulation and struggles and frustrations, and the devil's still here on this earth. But you know what? So I'm taking up my cross, and some days I'm stronger than others, right? I put that cross on. Maybe I put it on like a backpack or however I do it, and I'm carrying it and all that. But some days my back hurts. Maybe because I've loaded it up with things I shouldn't have loaded it up with. Maybe I've put too many things on my plate. Maybe I put too many sins in my heart. But for whatever reason, sometimes the cross gets heavy. It got heavy with Jesus. And I know it was heavy. We talked about it last week. It was heavy, and we'll talk about Simon in just a second. But before Jesus even went to the cross, it was heavy. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed. And he prayed so much, and his friends wouldn't even wait up with him and pray because they didn't get the full extent of what was about to happen. They couldn't stay awake for him. And so you know what he did? He prayed, and he was so anxious about it that his sweat became blood. He sweated blood. And he prayed and he begged on multiple occasions, God, take this cup from me. This cross is heavy. God did not take it away. But he did send an angel to help him carry it. Then he scourged. He's lost all this sleep. He's lost all this emotion. And they beat him with scourges. And they rip the flesh from his body, exposing tissue and bone. And he loses all this blood. Then they put that crown of thorns on his head. And they hit him on the head with a reed and grind him into his forehead. And all this blood. Then they put that robe on him, and it clots to the robe, I'm sure, and they rip it off, and they reopen the wounds, and he's losing all this blood, and he's tired, and now he's got to carry this cross, and they're goading him like an animal. And it became so heavy that they compelled a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the cross, country to bear his cross. I'm guessing our crosses never get that heavy, but they get heavy. You see, it should be not heavy. I'm your brother, right? We should be able to bear one another's burdens. I want you to know, I have experienced this to the fullest. Sometimes I'm stubborn, and I don't ask for help. But sometimes I hit a low, and I call on people. People that are in my circle of, hey, I got your back. That's what I need to name them in my iPhone group. They got my back. You know, well, if they don't have iPhones, I can't name it. But anyhow, the point being, I can call up my circle of people and say, hey man, I'm struggling with this, I need you. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pray. Sometimes even when you don't think about it, they're going to send you a message and say, hey, I've got your back. You know what that is? And some of you have done that recently because you knew I was going through a valley. But you helped me carry my cross and I love you for it. But it's not just me, folks. We're surrounded by a group of people that's willing to help. Number three this morning. If I'm going to take up my cross every day, I've got to remember to worship. Oh, well, Terry, we're here today. I didn't forget. I'm not talking about today. Yeah, obviously. Those at home, you're not here, but you're worshiping. Today's the Lord's Day. We know we worship on this day. But here's the problem. Sometimes when we leave out of here on Monday, we might pick that cross up and set it back down because we're not thinking about worship. He said, take it up every day. And I'm implying this, and don't forget to worship. Tomorrow, I must worship God. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day, I need to devote myself and worship God. Now, I don't mean we're necessarily coming together corporately and having a worship service. We know that's the first day of the week. But I am here to tell you that we, when we leave out of here and take our Sunday clothes off, we don't put the world on, folks. It's a conviction. It's a necessity. Jesus understood worship. He understood devotion. He understood serving. He understood loving, being compassionate. How can we elevate the cross and forget to worship? How can we elevate the cross and not read His Word? How can we elevate the cross and not be moved to prayer? How can we elevate the cross and not have a song on our heart? Man, you know, listen. Find what it takes to put you in a cross-bearing worship mood. Get the filth out. Listen, there have been podcasts I've listened to that are secular before of things that interest me. And sometimes I think, you know what, I need to make a little time and listen to that, but then I think about how sometimes they say some things on there that I shouldn't hear. You know what I've done? I've cut that junk out. Now I spend my time listening to what I know is going to help me be in a worship mood. A lot of times that's the Word of God. You see, worship is not just coming together on Sunday and sitting in a pew and singing a few songs and praying a few prayers and being challenged. It's a daily devotion to God. The word literally means in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to prostrate ourselves before Him. God, here I am, bowing down to worship You. That's the mindset. So when I elevate the cross, when I pick up the cross, when I carry the cross, I cannot forget to worship. But there's also time I got to find a rest. Now you might not have thought that one's going to be in there. But you think about it. The cross, it's rugged. Don't we see that? The old rugged cross. It's not been finished smoothly. Sometimes that cross is rugged and it's got splinters and, you know, it gets heavy like we talked about earlier and it wears our shoulders down. Sometimes it's okay to stop and rest. Now again, hear me out. We don't rest from God. We don't ever rest from God, but we've got to rest. We've got to focus on what really matters. Jesus rested. He took time away. You know what He did in that time away? He prayed. He spent time, quality time with the Father. Sometimes we put so many things on our plate that we get so busy that we forget to rest. Listen, I get it. I do too. I don't know what downtime is. I have a trouble with it. If I sit at home and don't go out and do something or whatever, I don't know what that's like. But think of the people that picked up their cross and started running. We're not running a sprint, folks. We're running a marathon. There have been people who, as George mentioned this morning, went down in this water behind this wall, gave their life to Christ, took their cross, and just took off running. But along the way, they stopped. You know why? They burned out. That's my precious little niece. But anyhow, the fact of the matter is we have got to do what we need to do before we burn out. We've got to find that time to rest. But there's one more point I want you to see today. Simple. Once we pick it up, we got to finish. You know, on Walk for Water, contrary to what some people want to argue, I asked Colton, he agreed with me, the first two buckets were the heaviest. And they got lighter. He did that on purpose. The last bucket had hardly anything in it. So you know what I did? I grabbed the first two because I'm going to be Mr. Guy, right? Well, instantly I got up to over where we're getting, you know, in the field out here. And I'm thinking, this was a really dumb thing to do. Because it was heavy. Jason Smith came up and said, hey, let me take one of those from you. I didn't say, no, man. I gave it to him. But then that other one, because I'd worn my shoulders out a little bit, it got heavy too. And so, you know, I'd carry it on my shoulder. I'd carry it right here, whatever. But I thought, I'm not going to put it down because I'm going to finish this lap. I didn't say finish the whole thing. I'm going to finish that lap. You see, if you've got a purpose, if you remember that there's a finish line in sight, I knew when I got to the finish line, I was going to set it down. We pick up that cross. We take off slow sometimes, but we're steady. But you know what, folks? There's a finish line. If we will take up our cross every day and follow Him, we're eventually going to get to the finish line. You know what's going to happen at the finish line? We're going to be able to put it down. As the song says, we're going to take that cross. We're going to take it to the exchange, if you will. And we're going to be given a crown. A crown that is unperishable. A crown that you can't put a price on. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Last week we talked about what that meant. You know, to me, it's like being enthralled in a movie where there's so much punishment and finally it's over. It's kind of like watching The Passion of the Christ. When He died, it's like, finally, the man's life of suffering is over. Jesus probably felt some of that way too. Finally, it is finished. But today, as we talk about finish, I want you to think about finishing your race, finishing your course, finish carrying your cross. And I want you to think about carrying it to that cloud of witnesses. So as we close today, I want to close with a very familiar passage, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, and here it is, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today, what I want you to see right now is at the foot of these stairs, I need your help imagining it now, is the cross. Not your cross, not my cross, His cross. I want you to picture the cross right here. Okay? It's blood-stained, it's sweat-stained, it's rugged, but it's here. Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, left it here. Because here's why He left it here. Today, you've got something holding you. You're holding on to something before you can hold on to the cross. And so what I need you to do, more importantly, what God needs you to do, more importantly than even for that, is for what you need to do, is leave it right here at the foot of the cross. You see, because once you leave it here, there's a cross to pick up. And you're going to bear that cross. And that cross is going to make your life a lot easier. Even though there are sometimes it'll be heavy, sometimes it'll be uncomfortable, there are going to be things in your life today, if you'll leave it at the foot of the cross, your life will get a lot better. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And today, your burden and my burden can be lifted. What's holding us back? What's stopping us from taking up our cross, carrying it every day, and elevating the cross of Jesus? You got to make that decision. We encourage you right now as together we stand and sing.